Twitterati.
Well, each week on RN Drive, we ask a member of the Twitterati to take us through their personal news feed on a tour of their mind on Twitter and show us some of the sights and highlights. And I'm delighted to say that this evening our guest is Elizabeth Redman from Business Spectator. Welcome to RN Drive, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me, Cassie. It's great to be here.
Now, just before we get to your selection, why don't you tell us in 144 characters or less what it is that you write about for the Business Spectator?
Yeah, so I've spent about a year as a breaking news reporter at Business Spectator, covering the local economy mostly, but also the global economy. And so we have quite a focus on economic data in real time, breaking news, breaking company news, markets. I'm actually just transitioning into a new role just at the moment, going to Eureka Report, so a bit more of a focus on wealth management and less on kind of the day-to-day, you know, whether the pound is up or down.
I guess you would have been watching that quite closely. Very interesting. Now, to your first pick, a highly unscientific yet surprisingly illuminating poll on the Scottish referendum.
This is one that was doing the rounds. I saw a number of people sharing this week. There was a Scotland-based blogger called Tom Court who used a dating app to poll people about whether they believe Scotland should be an independent country and then published screenshots of the results. I guess maybe if you're on a dating app, you're not really expecting to be polled. And so the responses ranged from yes and no, very, very simple responses, to I think it's wonderful that the referendum has inspired open debate, but I'm disgusted that people think it gives them the right to ask society's taboo question about how they might vote in a political situation.
Which is quite funny because the app that you're talking about is Grindr, which is quite an upfront, mainly gay, isn't it? App for people wanting to hook up. And there are these people replying they were shocked that the taboo of asking political intentions on voting was broken.
A couple of people said, have you been told that you shouldn't discuss politics or religion with strangers? And yet I guess people are happy to have personal conversations about quite a different topic. That's perhaps what they're using the app for.
Well, perhaps Scotland's Nate Silver could have taken note, because the final results of this very unscientific poll of 655 people on Grindr was pretty accurate.
I guess there's been a lot of intense passion, I suppose, about this referendum. So perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that 655 people who feel passionate about something else is, you know, enough for a bit of a representative
good
sample.
Sample size. Yeah. All right, on to your second pick. Now, this is a piece by The Australian's Trent Dalton, who's picked up a number of awards in recent times and is actually gathering quite a reputation as one of our best feature writers.
And the interesting thing is that he was writing about an award-winning subject. And so he was writing about a Queensland dairy farmer called Jeff Beattie, who's won more than 3,000 ribbons and medals for show cooking, which was quite an interesting story because it went through Jeff Beattie's transformation from cooking meat and veg and the occasional stew while his wife was sick to becoming an award-winning maker of rich, dark fruitcake. And it was actually quite a tear-jerking story because Jeff Beattie's wife died in 1987 from leukemia, and he turned to cooking as part of the healing process. So I did have a bit of a quiet cry at that one.
And everything he did in or does in the act of cooking is a kind of, well, a testament to her, and it's an act of love for her. Yeah.
It's beautiful, that love endures, yeah.
Amazing piece. We're talking with Elizabeth Redman. She's from the Business Spectator. She's our Twitterati guest on RN Drive tonight. And we're now to a picture that was tweeted from Westfield Doncaster in Melbourne.
And a number of people have been tweeting photos this week of the launch of the iPhone 6. I saw it was quite widely publicised this afternoon that someone got their hands on an iPhone 6 and dropped it, which would be quite a catastrophe if you've been lining up for 2 days. So freelance writer Bethany Blanchard was actually at Westfield Doncaster and took a photo yesterday afternoon of a queue for the iPhone 6 that apparently spanned the entire centre and started at 6 o'clock yesterday morning. And I think the thing that really amazed me was that people were sitting in this queue on their phones. They already have
perfectly good iPhone 5s.
Yeah, probably. Probably their iPhone 5 is working just fine, but I hope they didn't drop their iPhone 6 when they got it today.
Yeah, it made me think that Apple's idea of the glass front, the trademark storefront that they have of transparency. This is all about publicity. The fact that we're even talking about it shows it's a really successful strategy in perpetuating what some people call as a cult. I'm not going that far, but yeah.
I don't know about a cult, but maybe we should stop giving Apple a free head.
Yeah, perhaps. Now, just finally, to a global survey of companies with the best financial results has, well, look at that, revealed that the top ones have women in their leadership. What a surprise.
I think the really interesting thing, though, about this study was that it didn't just look at companies that have a CEO who is a woman or a chairman who's a woman, but they actually looked at leadership throughout an organisation. So are there women in the executive suite, but also are there women working, for example, as supervisors in a manufacturing business or supervisors on a production plant? And they, unsurprisingly, perhaps too many people, found that companies that do have more women in positions of leadership are also companies that have better financial performance. So if anyone wants to make more money, there's a tip.
And was there any extrapolation of those results? Was it because companies that see women as valuable assets are just generally going to be smarter companies, or was it some intrinsic quality that women bring to leadership?
I think there's certainly an economic argument that if you're not promoting women, you're missing out on half the workforce. There's definitely talent in all the workforce to be found. And if you're only promoting 50% or 49% of that workforce, then you're missing out on talented people.
And yet in Australia, we still have, what is it, a pay gap of 17.5% between men and women?
Exactly. So if anyone wants to make their company do better, maybe there are some lessons. Think about maybe whether there are some women who are being overlooked.
Well, an interesting lesson for us perhaps. Thank you very much, Elizabeth, for sharing your Twitterati thoughts with us this evening.
Thanks for having me, Cassie.
That's Elizabeth Redmond. She's from Business Spectator, writing about national and international, financial affairs, and also beginning work on the Eureka Report. I'm Cassie McCullough. This is RN Drive. Coming up, a look at the weekend in sport.